Welcome back to another session of Living a Life of Total Forgiveness. In this session, we're going to make you work. Oh no, you don't want to work, do you? Well, requires work, some cultivation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, not only should we pray for mercy, but we have to cultivate good qualities. So it requires work. It works both ways. God helps those who help themselves. So we ask Krishna for mercy, but we have to do something, show him we're serious about the mercy. So we're going to give you some work. It's work that I promised we would do last week, and it's work which helps us see how far we've forgiven. It's a criteria of different ways we can see how far along we are on the forgiveness continuum. And this document is available. We put it up on our website. So if you go to www.tstrain.com, www.tstrain.com, and then if you go to articles, and then you will come to an article, I believe it says, "Have you totally forgiven? Have you totally forgiven worksheet?" Something like that. Or how to know you've totally forgiven worksheet. Let's see, we're looking on my website. We're going to see. Go to the bottom there. Mudava, if you go to the bottom. How to know you've totally forgiven. Yeah. How to know you've totally forgiven worksheet. And you can download that. And if you download that, you can work on it during this class, and it's something you should keep with you because you can always refer to it, because obviously in the future there'll be other hurts and possible forms of resentment you're going to have to deal with. So do that, and while you're doing that, I'm going to read a few things to you that I feel are very inspiring. They inspired me. And Uddhava, as people come on, new people come on chat, you can let them know to go and download. And I will also mention it because not everyone goes into chat. So while you're doing that, you can listen to what I'm going to read. I'm going to read some inspirational and insightful things about forgiveness that I've picked up just for you for this show. So are you ready, Samsara 78? Are you ready, ROT? Are you ready, Bhakta Patrick? Are you ready, buddy? And is everyone else ready? If you want to get on chat, if you're not on chat, you can get on chat. That way you can ask questions and you can hear and you can read the comments of the other members on chat. Often during these talks, the other members are making comments, very profound remarks often, very insightful, and you'll have access to that. So, again, if you go, have you totally forgiven? That's a document on my website, tstrain.com. So we're going to be using that. And before we begin going over the document where we're going to make you work, oh no, you're going to actually have to do something. It doesn't all come easy. We're going to inspire you with a few insights into forgiveness. You know you have forgiven someone when he or she has harmless passage through your mind. When he or she has harmless passage through your mind. What does that mean, harmless passage? That means when you think of that person, you don't become upset. Have you ever thought of someone and it just was distasteful to think of them? Or perhaps every time you thought of them, you became upset or disturbed. Well, when you've actually forgiven a person who has hurt you or let you down in some way, after the forgiveness process, when you think of them, there's no ill feeling. So that's one way you know if you've forgiven, if you've actually fully forgiven somebody. Because then by talking about them, thinking about them, if their name comes up anywhere, they're holding harmless passage through your mind. And that not only a person, it can be an organization, it can be a group of people, when that organization is mentioned or that group is mentioned, they hold harmless passage through your wonderful forgiving mind, which means your wonderful, wonderfully forgiving heart, which is full of love, full of forgiveness, full of compassion, that even a person who's hurt you or let you down in some way, when you think of them, you have no ill feelings towards them because you are so magnanimous and so pure and so wonderful. That's, of course, that's the position we want to come to. But when we come to that position of forgiveness, that's what happens. You say impossible. That's impossible. I can't. I'm just an ordinary person. It's impossible. I can't be that way. I've been hurt so much. Forgiveness is possible for you right now, right here, today. It is possible. There's no question of you can't. It is possible. You have the power to forgive. It's in your hand. You have control over who you forgive. You do. Never forget that. You do. Krishna has given us a choice. He always gives us a choice. It is said God's gift to us is choice. Serve Him or reject Him. Our gift to Him is to use that choice properly. Always. We always have the choice. Always have to remember that. Okay, let's read another quote. Robert Enright, a developmental psychologist at the University of Wisconsin, defines forgiveness as giving up the resentment to which you are entitled. Wow. Giving up the resentment to which you are entitled and offering to the person who hurt you friendlier attitudes to which they are not entitled. Isn't that wonderful? Why should I forgive them? They don't deserve it. You should forgive them because they don't deserve it, because you want to give mercy, because you are practicing spiritual life, and the principle of spiritual life is to give mercy. That's why you don't do it. You don't do it because it's right. If you only do it because it's right, then you're going to find so many reasons it's not right. This person does not deserve to be forgiven. What they've done does not deserve to be forgiven. Okay. Doesn't deserve to be forgiven. That's all the more reason for us to forgive them. Because we're practicing the principle of giving mercy to those who don't deserve it. So let me read that again. A developmental psychologist, his name is Robert Enright, of the University of Wisconsin, defines forgiveness as giving up the resentment to which you're entitled. Yes, we might say ordinarily you're entitled to that because the person hurt you. They deserve your resentment. You're entitled to it. Anybody would be upset if this happened. But you forgive the person who deserves not to be forgiven. And you offer them attitudes to which they are not entitled. You are entitled to the resentment, but you don't hold on to it. And they are entitled to your revenge, but you don't give it. You don't give it because you are practicing how to act as a devotee of the Lord, as a sadhu. And practicing means you don't do what you might feel like doing if you weren't practicing spiritual life. Oftentimes I joke with devotees when I get an urge to do something, like maybe I get an urge to overeat or I get an urge to do something, and I joke to them, I say, if I wasn't a devotee, I would do this right now because I have the urge. I feel like doing it. And it's true. So if I wasn't a devotee, I wouldn't care. I would just do it. I would gorge myself or I would go out and party or do this and that. So when I feel the urge to do something, I always joke and say, if I wasn't a devotee, I would do this. In the same way, I may feel like retaliating against someone who hurt me. And so we can say, I would do it if I wasn't a devotee, but I'm a devotee, so I'm not going to do it. It's a nice way to think, isn't it? Okay, this is how I feel. This is what I feel like doing, but I'm a devotee, so I'm not going to do it. Simple. I'm not supposed to do it. That's not what a devotee does. That's not what a person who's cultivating bhakti in their hearts does. That's not the way they act. Okay. I don't know who said this, but it's quite nice. If you are at war with others, you cannot be at peace with yourself. If you are at war with others, you cannot be at peace with yourself. We've been talking a lot about how forgiveness is really simultaneously self-forgiveness. Because by giving up the war with the other, you're giving up the toxicity of the hatred, of the revenge within your own heart. So then by giving up the war with them, actually you're giving that up within your own heart. Because it's really not about them, it's more about what's going on inside. So once you learn how to be at peace with the issues that you're dealing with, then you'll be at peace with this other person, and ultimately you'll realize it's not about the other person. Do you know that Prabhupada said something quite amazing about this? He said, do not be angry with the agent of your karma. Wow, heavy. Do not be angry with the agent of your karma. Isn't it interesting that we buy in totally to the concept of karma, yet when we're hurt, we're ready to blame the person who hurt us? Do not be angry with the agent of your karma. Ultimately, it's about us and how we react to what's going on outside of us. It's not ultimately about that person. It's about how we deal with the situation. That person is just delivering our karma. Do not be angry with the agent who's delivering your karma, but learn how to deal with your karma. Everything is happening for a reason. We cannot control all the things that conspire to create this situation, but we can learn to accept that somehow or other this is all happening, and I have to detach myself enough to be able to accept it. Somehow or other, I have to accept it. I can't change it. I can change. What I have control of is how I react to it. I can't blame that agent. It has happened. It's just an agent. Doesn't look like an agent. Looks like that person's to blame. I'm the victim. I have to change it around and understand that whatever is coming to me, I created somehow or other. I don't understand it. I created it in some way. It's coming to me. I need to learn how to accept. You know how when things conspire and so many things are happening and you don't like the way it's going and you can't control it, what can you do? All you can do is just say, this is what's going on. I can't change it. I can only deal with it internally. That's all I can do now. When we don't accept that, we become totally frustrated. Completely frustrated, angry. That is not how a practicing spiritualist deals with the situation. A practicing spiritualist understands, I am not the controller. There's no way I'm the controller. I may want to see things a certain way. I have limited control, and the main control I have is over my attitudes, my mind, how I'm dealing with this. So sometimes we can't do anything but just accept it is what it is, and I have to accept that, and then go on from there. And as soon as you do that, what you will find is a lot of relief immediately comes. As soon as you accept something, you become much more peaceful. You go, okay, then, and you can better deal with it when you accept it. It's when you can accept it, it's when it's so difficult to deal with. And try that. Whenever you're just overcome by situations you don't like, just stop and say, this is what is happening now. It is the way it is. I can't change it. It's happening for a reason. I may not know why. I may have created this due to my desire, my past activities, whatever. This is what's happening now. Let me just accept it, go along with it, learn from it, deal with it, and move on from there. That's all we can do. That's all we're supposed to do. And use it somehow or other to help us advance in our spiritual life. Or use it to learn what caused me to end up in this situation, so I don't continually do the same thing and end up in situations which cause me suffering or pain or hurt me spiritually. Just trace it back. How did I end up like this? And if you don't like it, then you're going to have to change what you're doing so you don't keep ending up in the same situation. I don't know if you've had this experience or you've seen this with others, but people often keep ending up in the same situations because they keep thinking the same ways and doing the same things. And they keep getting frustrated, and they don't realize it's because of the way they're thinking and acting that they bring about these things upon themselves. So why, if we change our actions, we can bring upon better things, more Krishna conscious things, more mercy upon us, more inspiration to advance in Krishna consciousness, more ability to tolerate situations. So if we can bring upon the bad, we can also bring upon the good. Okay. Here's another quote. I don't know who it is from, but it's wonderful. I believe that to withhold forgiveness is to choose to continue to remain the victim. We talked about being the victim. I believe that to withhold forgiveness is to choose. Here the word is, the key word here is choose. I believe that to withhold forgiveness is to choose to continue to remain the victim. Do not become angry with the carrier, the messenger of your karma. So, we're choosing to remain the victim. Victim means what? I did not deserve this. That cannot be true if we accept the principle of karma. It cannot be true that we don't deserve it. Only thing we don't deserve is that we get so much mercy. Then you could say, I don't deserve that. That's true. You don't deserve the mercy. None of us deserve the mercy. But the suffering, that Krishna does not allocate haphazardly. That is there because we deserve it. Remember, you always have a choice. I believe that to withhold forgiveness is to choose to continue to remain the victim. Remember, you always have a choice. That would be a nice t-shirt, wouldn't it? Remember, you always have a choice. It's a nice thing to remember. No, 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 I don't have a choice. I'm a victim. No, you always have a choice. Sometimes the choice is limited, more limited than others. If you allow yourself to be covered by the mode of ignorance, your choices will be more limited. The deeper down you go in the modes of nature, the more you lose your willpower and then your ability to choose. But Krishna never takes away your choice entirely. As Prabhupada said, that is the symptom of life. Desire, choice. Okay, here's another wonderful quote. One pardons to the degree that one loves. So again, as devotees, what is the ultimate, what is one of the ultimate positions of a devotee? Compassion. Affection for people who are separated from Krishna. So if we want to show that spiritual compassion or spiritual affection, we cannot show it without forgiveness. Forgiveness is a component, a necessary foundational component to affection and love. So here, one pardons to the degree that one loves. Nice. So obviously, if you're not showing any sympathy, any affection, any love to a person who's hurt you, you don't want to pardon them because, as we said many times, for resentment is your weapon to do what? To punish. Your weapon to punish. Now, I was thinking of an analogy this week. Very nice analogy. Imagine a knife which has a handle in the middle and it's pointed on both ends. So actually, it's like two knives in one. You can stab from either end, right? So your resentment, you're using your resentment as a weapon to punish your victim. This person who hurt you is now your victim. You want to punish them. So you're using your knife. And you see what I'm doing? And every time I want to stab the person, because the person is, let's say, right here, I have to bring my hand back, right? Because I can't, once I'm there stabbing them, I have to bring my hand back. So I go like that. Okay, you see that in the camera? Stab, I'm stabbing you out there. You are my victims. So I was thinking of the analogy that every time you try to stab the person who's hurt you, they're always an inch further away from you. So you miss them by an inch. And so what you do is you bring your arm back. And every time you bring your arm back, you stab yourself. So you're stabbing, missing, bringing it back, stabbing yourself, stabbing them, missing, bringing it back, stabbing yourself, stabbing them, missing. So you see what's happening. You keep getting hurt, and you keep missing them. And that's why it is said envy is to drink poison, hoping the other person will die. Our resentment is like stabbing ourselves in the attempt to stab them. That is why when people give up resentment, they feel this tremendous relief because they stop stabbing themselves. They put the knife down and they feel so much better that I'm not stabbing myself all day. Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Feels a lot better. Okay. Here's another wonderful quote from the world of wonderful quotes. When you hold resentment toward another, you are bound to that person or condition by an emotional link that is stronger than steel. Forgiveness is the only way to dissolve that link and get free. A lot of times we talk about forgiveness as a link or a bond to something that has happened in the past that is affecting us presently. So here are the same ideas, and you imagine some kind of steel bond to this situation or person. I believe that to withhold forgiveness is to choose to continue to... When you hold resentment toward another, you are bound to that person or condition by an emotional link that is stronger than steel. So now you're bound to this person that you hate so much. Why would you want to be bound to somebody? You imagine... Oh my God. You imagine you hated somebody and there was a person you couldn't stand and someone came up and tied you up to that person. It's like the last person in the world you want to be with. Or like you're right on the verge of getting a divorce. You can't stand this person and someone ties you up. And now you can't get away from that person. Would that be painful or would that be painful? Yes, you're right. That would be painful. So why would you want to tie yourself to the person you hate? You wouldn't. But that's what resentment does. That's what it is. It's an emotional bond. Now we're connected. And we're being affected by this person. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, made a wonderful statement. He said, nobody can hurt you. No one can hurt you unless you allow them. Isn't that wonderful? No one, not that it's wonderful that you're hurt, but the statement is wonderful. No one can hurt you unless you allow them. So that person who hurt you cannot allow you, cannot hurt you unless you allow them. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can never hurt me unless I allow them. What does they say? I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. So you can say whatever you say that when you were young? Uddhava, they say that in Montreal. There's no, he liked that one because he never heard it in Montreal. I'm rubber, you are glue, whatever you say bounces off me and it sticks to you. So we want it to bounce off, right? Bounce off. Okay, we don't want this emotional bond glued. We don't want to be glued to this person. Just let the person go. Set them free, and you'll be free. We have better things to do than hate people, right? We're supposed to be helping people, we're supposed to be giving mercy to people. We're supposed to be bringing people back to the Father. We're the sons who are bringing people back to the Father. We're not supposed to be going out hating people. What to speak of hating people who are practicing service to the Father? That's not our position. It doesn't look good on our resume. On our Krishna conscious resume, it doesn't look good that you hate God's servants, that you have issues, serious issues with God's servants. You want to get that off your resume. I was just reading something. This is so wonderful. Imagine that four times a year you had a meeting with God and you had to tell Him. Like, what's going on? What's happening in your life? What's the latest that's going on in your heart? Imagine. So how would you live your life if every quarter you had your quarterly meeting with God and you had to tell Him what's going on? Would you want to come in and tell Him all the people you hate? all the people you have issues with, all the people you've been criticizing the last 3 months? I don't think so. So plan your next quarterly meeting with Krishna. Prepare now for your next quarterly meeting so you can reveal all the good things. You can rewrite your resume. Look what's on my resume. Forgiveness is on my resume. I forgave so many people. The Krishna will say, nice, way to go. Keep up the good work. That's what we want to do. Okay. Love is an act of endless forgiveness. Love is an act of endless forgiveness. That is the position of the devotees. Endless tolerance, endless mercy, and endless forgiveness. And because they actually have love for the conditioned souls, the pure devotees love the conditioned souls. Vasudev Dutt, he's asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, deliver all the conditioned souls. I will take the suffering, their karma, I will take it upon me. That is love to the highest degree. That is pure devotional service. Genuine love and affection for the conditioned souls. So forgiveness must be part of that, because forgiveness is an act of endless love. Now listen to this next one. This is totally different than anything we've been discussing. Are you all listening? Dr. Greg is late. You are forgiven. Once, twice, but three times I may not. Okay. Prabhupada said that. He said, I will forgive you. Once, twice, three times I will forgive you, but Krishna may not. So, of course, Bhakti Greg, you are forgiven for being late. But Krishna may not, I don't know. Okay. So here's another one we have not read yet. I think this is wonderful. Forgiveness is the sweetest revenge. Sweetest revenge, what does that mean? The sweetest way for you in your heart, the most satisfying way you could ever take revenge is to forgive. Have you ever had this experience when you were young and some kid was like really mad at you and calling you names? And you knew if you didn't get upset, there would be no satisfaction on their part because they're doing that to agitate you. Have you ever had that experience? Uddhava, you ever had that experience? So, and then you know, if you just aren't bothered, it's just gonna dissolve the whole issue, and they can't get upset. Maybe they'll get upset because you're not upset. So, that's the sweetest kind of revenge, when there's every reason to take revenge and you don't. I mean, what a sweet way to act. What is the sweetness? The sweetness is what's going on in your heart. Every right to take revenge. Say, my sweetest form of revenge towards what you did is to forgive you. Think about that. How sweet that is. How sweet that makes you feel. How wonderful an act that is. How pleasing that is to Krishna. Foremost quality of the Brahman is his forgiveness. So how that is pleasing to Krishna. Krishna is pleased by those who forgive. Forgiveness is the sweetest revenge. The only people you should ever want to get even with are those who have helped you. What does that mean? The only people, I'm going to get even with you for what you did to me. You know what he did to me? I'm going to get even. He stole my girlfriend. I'm going to get even with him. What are you going to do? Throw rocks in his window? That's a pretty Krishna conscious thing, right? What are you going to do? Steal his car? Put sugar in his gas tank? Because he ran away with your girlfriend? What are you going to do? Call the utility company and tell them to turn off his utilities? Say, I am that person, turn off my utilities in the middle of the winter? That's a pretty Krishna conscious thing to do, right? What are you going to do? Don't ever try to get even with anyone unless it's the person who helped you. That's the person you want to get even with, by doing more to help them than they've done to help you. Is that nice meditation? Don't ever try to get even with anyone unless it's someone who helped you. Okay. Well, did you like those quotes? I thought they were fantastic. Okay, now I'm going to look. We haven't even started the questions yet, and while I'm talking, you're all looking into questions. Oh, I feel so offended. Okay. Bhakti and Carol says, extension of control issue. Problems come, we suffer when we think events, outcomes, relationships should be different than they are. When we think it should be my way instead of the actual outcome, yes, the whole universe at this moment is conspiring to make everything happen in a particular way, and we say, no, it's not supposed to happen this way. I don't like it. You can't. You have to accept it. But, as I said before, try to consider, what did you have to do to create that situation so you don't keep recreating it? You know, there was a devotee, and she wrote me, and she had a terrible relationship with her husband. And her husband was very weak, and then she got in a relationship with another man, and he was also weak, and I said, you know, by your mentality, your attitude, you're attracting men who are very weak, who are going to disappoint you. So sometimes you find that often with women. Certain women attract certain kinds of men who end up being very weak or very dependent or abusive. And say, well, how did this happen to me? Well, often it's a certain attitude, a certain way of thinking, a certain something inside. I know many, many women that attract the same kind of men over and over and over again. Certain women attract men that are already married. Figure that one out. The only men they attract are married. How did that happen? You know, that's kind of unusual, but so we have to think, you know, oh, this is terrible. I attracted a man who's married, now his wife found out and she wants to kill me. Well, you created that situation somehow or other. Anyway. Okay, when we think someone should not have died or someone should not have done that, that's, you know, we can't control those things. Not entirely, anyway. Okay. Samsara 78 says, follower of Jesus said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Jesus said, forgive them. Should we forgive them 7 times? And he said, 70 times 7, forgive them. Right? So isn't it 7? You should forgive them 70 times 7. In other words, always forgive. Okay, that is a big order. That is a tall order to follow. It's not as difficult as you think. We have to enter the process of releasing resentment with the faith that it's not as difficult as we may think. It can be done. It's been done by others. In a sense, many people are addicted to revenge. They can't give it up. They can't give up the revenge. You know, a lot of times what happens is you feel you've been wronged, and if you forgive the person, then you think, I'm admitting, or I can't hold on to being right, and I have such a need to be right that I can't forgive. So when you start to isolate these things and see what they are, and see how much pain you're being caused by just being attached to being right, you know what they say, you can either be attached to being right or you can be happy, because you're not going to be both. And on that happy note, we're going to read something about that. Okay, are you ready for some more good quotes? Okay. So Bhakti Patrick, we're talking about the girlfriend that left. Well, they had a song when I was growing up. My boyfriend's back and he's gonna be in trouble. You know that song? Hey la li la, my boyfriend's back. So it's like you grow up hearing all these stories and songs about revenge. So it's like, yeah, let's get back at them. You know, that's what you're supposed to do, right? Yeah. Go to the movies and this guy was offended. Now he's out with his gun out there ready to kill the person and kill everyone in their family and whatever, you know. So that's the glorious society that we live in that teaches us these values through media and music. You know, that's what we're battling with, aside from, you know, 10 zillion lifetimes of conditioning. We have to battle with the culture we're existing in. Okay. Giving my age away. I am eternal. I am ageless. I defy the laws of age as a spirit soul. I refuse to grow old. See, I'm trying to control material nature so I don't grow old. So, okay, here's a nice quote. Pay attention because you'll like this. Okay. Be willing to forgive. Your ego is fighting this battle. Whoa, heavy. Now we have to admit something. Okay. You know, we're talking about not forgiving, and then we have all these justifications why, these rationalizations. Well, I can't forgive because of this, and anyone in my situation would not be able to forgive. And I was hurt so much that everybody knows it's impossible to forgive someone who abuses you in this way. And particularly, it was my father, and no one can live through the abuse of a father for their daughter in the way I was treated. And so many people who are abused this way have so many emotional problems, etc., 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 etc. Your ego is fighting this battle. So we have to admit that all these things are excuses. If you want to forgive, you have to give up the excuses. And I'm not saying you were not hurt, and I'm not saying these are not real situations, and I'm not saying you did not suffer. You did suffer. There's no question you suffered. There's no question you're hurt. There's no question you're disappointed. There's no question you're depressed. But your ego is fighting because it won't let you let it go, because it wants to fight back, because you've been hurt and you just want to fight back. You want to get back. Even that person is dead. There are people who have issues with forgiveness with persons who are dead. It's like, how could that be? The person's dead. Yet the wounds are so deep, they can't give it up even after the person died. And that person may be their father or their mother or their brother. It's that heavy. The ego is fighting. It doesn't want to give up. It wants to punish because it's been hurt. So we have to confront it. It's reality. It's a fact. Ego is fighting. It's fighting hard. Hard. It's difficult to admit, but we have to be open to the possibility that this is true. For tonight, be open to the possibility that this may be what's happening. It is saying that you should stay offended and hurt, and you should continue to fight. That's what the ego is saying. Don't give it up. Stay offended, stay hurt, and fight back. Get back at this person. Tell the world about this person. Drag this person down. Put it over the internet. Tell everybody about it. Tell everyone. Tell your friends. Let everybody know how you're hurt, and stay down because of that hurt. And just be sad and depressed. That's a strange way to fight. It's really a sick way to fight. You don't want to be sad. You don't want to be depressed. You don't want to be angry. You don't want to be any of these things. If you could, right now, if I could bring out the magic wand and knock that out of you, you'd say, sure, knock it out of me. You want to have it out. Ego is fighting. Doesn't want you to let it go. Your ego is saying you should stay offended and hurt, and you should continue to fight. However, your willingness to be happy is your key to your future happiness. In other words, you have to stop and say, I want to be happy. I don't want this. This doesn't serve me. It doesn't serve you materially, and it doesn't serve you spiritually. I want to be happy. I just want to be happy. I just want to be peaceful. So your willingness to be open to a life without all the things that are making you miserable has to be there. I'm willing to be happy. I really don't want this. You have to acknowledge that. Therefore, the first step to letting go is to choose to be happy instead of being right. Wow, heavy. Heavy statement. Can you accept that? Choose to be happy instead of being right. So what he's saying here is we can become so attached to being right at our own expense, at the expense of us being happy. I am right. I was wronged. He did this. He did that. She did this. She did that. They deserve this. They deserve that. They're wrong. I'm right, etc., etc. And then, as I said, there's a saying, you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Because it said people who are attached to being right are never happy. They're always miserable. They always have to be right. And I don't know if you're like that, but if you are, it's not a good state to be in. You always have to be right, no matter what. Even if you're wrong, you have to be right. For some people, it doesn't even matter if what they're arguing is right. They just have to be right. So, you know, we all have that. I would say we all have that some degree or another. So, first step in letting go is to choose to be happy instead of being right, resentful, angry, or bitter. So now he's juxtaposing happiness to resentment, anger, or bitterness. So, okay, now choose to be happy instead of choosing to be angry. Wait a minute, I'm not choosing to be angry. I was hurt. I was let down. That's why I'm angry. He's saying, no, you're choosing to be angry instead of choosing to be happy. Just focus on that for a minute. It doesn't seem like I'm choosing to be angry. But when you think about it further, when you think about it more deeply, whatever is going on, if you become angry, ultimately, you have given into it. You have submitted to it. Just like if you smoke a cigarette or you take a drink of alcohol, you're submitting to it. You're making a choice. Now, alcohol, if you're an alcoholic, it overcomes you. You have no control, right? You have no control. Well, you do have some control. There are people who are alcoholics who have stopped, who have gone to Alcoholics Anonymous. And all that they came in, and Alcoholics Anonymous says the first principle is, you have no power over your lust. You can't control this. But there's a power greater than you that can. So at least you came there. You had that choice. You made that choice to go there and say, I don't have the power. We have a choice. There's a choice. Go with the resentment or go with happiness. Go with the anger or go with happiness. Go with the bitterness. It's a liberating thought to acknowledge and accept you can choose one or the other, because you can. And so the whole point of this course is we're asking you to choose one over the other. And if you choose forgiveness over resentment, anger, and bitterness, you're going to be one happy camper. I guarantee. Money-back guarantee from Mahatma Das, right here on Krishna.com. If you attempt to give up your resentment, and you're not happy, you can have your resentment back. I'll give it back to you. You can have 100% of it. You can put it right back in your heart. If you take it out and you're not happy, I'll give it back to you. Put it right back in there, stuff it down there, no problem. That's my guarantee, if you want to do that. Now, oftentimes what I tell people is I can't forgive. I say, forgive for 1 hour. And after 1 hour, if you feel uncomfortable, then take that resentment and put it back in your heart. Do you think anyone in their right mind, if they actually totally forgave somebody, would want to pick up that garbage and put it in their heart? I don't think so. Because once you forgive, you feel liberated. Totally liberated. You feel like, that was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. That was the most destructive thing that I've ever done. Holding on to that was so destructive. I don't know why I was so stupid to hold on to it. Because it's so liberating to be free from that. Okay, Bhakta Patrick has a confession here. I did the forgiveness thing. I filed out all the answers and added them up, and I got 70 out of 180. If each has a total of 10, so, oh yeah, he's done that. He's already done the exercise. Okay, we'll go back to that. Go back to that. Yeah. Okay. By accepting this, you open yourself up to healing your spirit and soul. Yes. So, this is a nice analogy. The analogy of a diseased soul. So, if we keep this analogy that holding on to resentment means diseased soul, our soul is in a diseased state. Of course, we normally don't think of the soul in a diseased state because we understand the soul is pure. But for the sake of analogy, I think it's a powerful analogy. The soul in a diseased state. If we hold on to resentment, then we're keeping the soul in a diseased state. At least we feel diseased, don't we? Okay, now, for those of you who have jumped ahead and those of you who haven't, it's time to take Have You Totally Forgiven test. And I'm going to read first the introduction to this, which explains how this works, and then I'll further clarify it. If you haven't printed this test out, if you came late, if you go to my website, www.tstomsamtrain, like a train, choo-choo train, .com, tstrain.com, you go to articles, and then you go to, what was the name of that? How You Know You've Totally Forgiven. Go down to the bottom of articles. Click on articles, go down to the bottom, and then you can either look at that on the site or you can print it out, and this is what we're going to be working on. That was a long introduction, wasn't it, to this? Okay. We may not work on this tonight, but I'd like you to take it home, and I'll just, what I would like to do tonight is clarify what I mean by each of these, say a little something about them. If you like, you can score yourself tonight. If you like, you can score yourself later. But as you work on your forgiveness, you can go back to this, because the goal, total forgiveness, means you'll have a zero. You'll have a zero. You'll have zero. If you have, how many questions did you say there were? 14 questions. So total unforgiveness would be 140, and total forgiveness would be zero. So this is just to see your progress, how you're going. So as you progress and you're giving up of your resentment, go back, and this is the check. Well, have I give up my resentment? So hopefully you'll start to get to the zero and one. Because zero or one or two is, you're pretty down there. Things can flare up. You deal with it, and then you go back to this. Okay. When removing cancer, 100% of the cancer must be removed. When we speak of total forgiveness, we're talking about removing 100% of our resentment. Otherwise, it will come up again and infect us. That's the whole point. If there's any resentment left in our heart, it's going to come back. There's still something there. The infection is still there. So we have to remove it entirely. Total forgiveness. It's possible to practice total forgiveness. Maybe you say, I can't totally forgive. But it is possible to practice it. It is. I've seen many, many people do it. And you can do it also. Below is a test to determine whether or not you have totally forgiven. Think of the person, organization, company, etc. that you have the greatest resentment towards. On a scale of 0 to 10, with 10 being the highest, write down the degree to which you are guilty of the kind of unforgiveness listed below on the left margin. After each item of unforgiveness is listed, the antidote, the forgiving way to act, is listed. There's a misprint here. I list under it. Let me explain. The antidote is listed to give you an idea of how you would be acting if this type of unforgiveness were not present in your life. It were a zero. So, for example, we look at number one. Let's go down to number one. You are still waiting for them to apologize before you can forgive. So, if you're totally forgiven, what would it look like if you're totally forgiven? It would look like this. You take responsibility for your own forgiveness. You do not wait for them. You choose to forgive now. So if you're in that mood, yes, I choose to forgive now, I'm not waiting for them anymore, then you'd put a zero. If you're at the point where I don't know if I can fully forgive without them apologizing, then maybe you're at a five. I'd like to forgive, I don't know if I can. Or if you're getting closer to, I think I'll be able to, it's getting easier, maybe you're at a three or a two. So the antidote is there to let you know, if you put zero, this is how you're acting or thinking, this is your attitude. And all of these are principles that I taught in my seminar, so they're all valuable principles to reflect on. Okay, if you can't think of anyone or any organization that you have any resentment towards or for, consider the possibility that you may have issues on some level with persons like Hitler, Bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, etc. Maybe you have some resentment issues with a fallen guru, a family member, your guru, or even Krishna himself. That's a pretty touchy one. Resentment issues with God. Well, God, why did you do this? Why did you allow this to happen? What kind of God are you? Many people have issues with God. Sometimes we're afraid to admit, I have issue with my guru, I have issue with God. We have to admit, we have to confront. This is the healing process. Don't be afraid to visit these. Unless you acknowledge your resentment, you won't be able to let it go. If you still can't think of anyone, ask yourself if there is anyone or anything in your past that still represents an obstacle for you today. And then you say, no, I've forgiven them. But look to your past and say, is there anything in my past that in any way is an obstacle for me presently? So you might find something back there you can dig up and say, well, this one thing still does affect me to some degree. So maybe you need to forgive them. And I'll tell you a really interesting story. This is amazing. And how sometimes it's not obvious where you need to forgive. I did a forgiveness seminar. After the seminar, this one devotee came to me and she said, I have an issue with the person who was in charge of the ashram. And even after doing this seminar, I wasn't able to forgive her. So I was talking to her, teaching her all these principles. Nothing worked. So I couldn't understand what it is. But I had learned the process of empathic listening as a counseling skill. So I met her on another occasion and I said, just talk to me. Just tell me, you know, what's going on or whatever. And then the subject came up of her father and how her father was always away from the family making money. And he used that money kind of as his balm to keep everybody satisfied. But she said she grew up seeing her mother suffer because of how her father dealt with her father always being away. I said, wait a minute. There's something about this. I said, say more about this. Tell me more about this. So, by letting her speak, what we realized was that she felt like her mother and that devotee who was in charge of the ashram was like, she saw that person like her father. I said, oh, that's really interesting. So I said, therefore the solution is to forgive your father. And once you forgive your father, naturally, you won't have the issue with that devotee. Is that amazing? That is so convoluted. So sometimes you have to look to these past things, which are like, they're hanging out there, how one thing's affecting another. Would you ever thought that your resentment towards this devotee really was your unforgiveness and resentment towards your father? Well, could be. I'm not a psychotherapist, but somehow or other, by Krishna's grace, I knew enough to put that together. And that solved the problem. She had to forgive her father for the suffering of her mother, and that automatically resolved the issue with this other devotee. Strange world. Strange the way things happen. Consider also, you may only have an issue with one thing somebody did or said. You know, you might say, I have no issues, but this one thing this person did. So then you can use that as your issue for this exercise. If you still find you have no resentment, then read the list below to confirm this by understanding what total forgiveness means. So then you can use this as a checklist. And many people who think they have no issues, when they go down this list, they realize they still do. That's the whole point. As you read the list, if someone or some organization comes to mind, begin writing down the intensity of the unforgiveness you have towards them. This is if you start this exercise with no one in mind only. But as you do the exercise, somebody else may come up. You can write that and do the exercise again for them. So now I want to explain these, clarify these, and then we'll end the class. And then you can either be doing it while I'm doing this, or you can take it home. Okay, so number one, you are still waiting for them to apologize before you can forgive them. The antidote, you take responsibility for your own forgiveness. You do not wait for them. You choose to forgive now. Your forgiveness is not being controlled. It's not in the hands of anybody else. If you are waiting for them to apologize, your forgiveness is in their hands. They hold the power over your forgiveness. And that's the condition of many people. That's why they can't forgive. It's a very foolish thing to give your choice and ability to forgive to somebody else, because they may never apologize. They may never even know that they hurt you, so why would they apologize? And then you spend your whole life with resentment towards them? Not a good idea. So, if you're not waiting for them to apologize, you're at a zero. If you cannot forgive them until they apologize, you're at a 10. then you're in trouble. Next one. You're waiting for them to get justice before you forgive them. Once they go to the gas chamber, okay, I'll forgive them. Once they go to court and get sentenced to life imprisonment, once they're kicked out of the Hare Krishna movement, once they're exposed on the internet, whatever it is, then I'll forgive them. Okay, what's the antidote? You forgive them because you understand you can choose to forgive. Again, your forgiveness is a choice which is not dependent on anything that happens to them. Your forgiveness, it's about you, and it's about your choice. It's not about them getting justice or not. They may get justice. Maybe they should get justice, but your forgiveness should not be dependent on whether or not they get justice. You may forgive them, and you may take them to court because they deserve to be in jail for what they did. But you can still forgive them while doing that. And you don't have to wait till they're sentenced. Next one. You hope that something will happen so they become aware of how they hurt you. Antidote. You allow Krishna to deal with them from within their hearts the way he chooses. In other words, you don't play God. So now you're waiting. You're sitting there waiting for them to understand how much you suffered. And it's the same thing as waiting for them to apologize. You're waiting and waiting for them to realize it. When they finally realize it and come to you and say, I finally now realize how much you suffered, then you can forgive them. You'll be hoping and hoping they get that realization. That is up to them and Krishna, whether that realization comes in this life or not. They may never understand. But your forgiveness is not dependent on whether they understand. Don't give your ability to choose forgiveness. Don't put it in the hands of anybody else. Put it in your own hands. Your life is still being controlled or affected in some way by how you were ill-treated. In other words, the incident happened. Today you are still suffering because of that. They're not living in your mind rent-free, as we read that quote. You're paying rent when they're in their mind. It's disturbing. Think their existence on this planet is a disturbance to you. And it's affecting your sanity. It's affecting your ability to grow. It's affecting your ability to achieve whatever it is you want to achieve. That's a bad place to be in. So what's the antidote? You do not allow hurt from the past to affect your present activities or future plans. You understand that where you are today may be because of how you were hurt in the past, but where you are in the future is not dependent on what happened in the past. You allow the past to affect you today, but you don't have to allow that from today on. You can go forward. It doesn't matter your situation today. It doesn't matter where you are today. What affects your future? See, the way people get messed up, they think, well, my future is affected by my past. Your future is affected by the choices you make right now. That's really what affects your future. But if you allow the past to affect your choices that you make today, then the past is affecting your future. But really, the choices you make today, right now, are affecting you tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So, you can choose to not be affected by what happened in the past and choose to make the choices that will help you live the way you want to live rather than the way the past apparently is forcing you to live. So you start to see how unforgiveness and resentment is so binding, as it's really holding you down and so disturbing. And if you see that, then you'll start to see how much better off you'll be by giving up the resentment. Just like tremendously better off. Okay, let's go to the next one. You punish them with your tongue. Oh, no, the one before. You're waiting for them to rectify themselves before you forgive them. Antidote. You forgive them because you understand you can choose to forgive. The same thing. Wait for them to rectify. It may never happen. Okay. You punish them with your tongue by telling others what they have done. This is a really big one. This is really one of the main ways we punish them. The antidote. You no longer let anyone know what was said about you or done to you. If you tell someone, you tell one person with the hope of removing the resentment, not to punish your offender. In other words, if you're going to tell someone, do it therapeutically. Tell it to help overcome the issue. Don't tell it to punish the person. Tell it to overcome the pain. Deal with it. Get it out. And then once it's out, don't tell anybody else. If you have to tell it again, it's only for the purpose of letting it go. It's only for the purpose of therapy. You get angry or upset every time you think about or see your offender and what they did. Antidote. Appreciate what is good about them and understand what they may have been going through when they offended you. That's the sympathy, empathy aspect of the process of forgiveness. You see that person and think, they must have been undergoing tremendous difficulties in their life. They must have been suffering tremendously for them to do such a horrible thing as they did to me. And you feel compassion. That's the proper mood. Next, it upsets you if good things happen to your offender, if they prosper, if they are happy, if people like them. That is a real big one. Envy. Did I tell you last week what difference between jealousy and envy is? Jealousy is when you want what another person has. Envy is when you don't want them to have what they have. So now you're seeing this other person and there everything's like hunky-dory for them. And like, my God, this person is such a rascal. Look what they did to me, and everybody thinks they're great and they have a great life. I can't stand it. Antidote. You never wish anything bad to happen to them. You're happy to see them happy. In other words, whatever you want in your life, whatever blessings you want in your life, you wish it upon them. Wow, what a exalted position to come to. What a challenge for us to become the well-wishers of the people who have hurt us. But if we can do that, just think how Krishna conscious we'll be. Just think how Krishna conscious that would make us if we could do that. Not easy. No one's saying it's easy, but if we could do it, the challenge is there to do it, because that's what a devotee should do. That's what a devotee is. A devotee is a blessing machine. He simply blesses. We told the story last week. The sadhu's picking up the scorpion is biting, he drops the scorpion back in the water, again picks up the scorpion to save it, again the scorpion bites, drops it in the water, his hand is in pain, again picks it up to save it, and the other sadhu's with him and said, why are you doing that? He said, because the scorpion won't give up its behavior, its nature, he keeps biting, why should I give up my nature to keep showing mercy? So, just because someone has hurt us, we should not give up our nature, the Vaishnava nature of compassion. We should not allow the other person to hurt us. No one can hurt you unless you allow them. Okay, you find it difficult to see any good in your offender. Antidote, you appreciate their good qualities and activities. Everybody has some good qualities. You hope that something equally bad will happen to the person who hurt you. Ooh, devotees don't think that way. You pray for the person and bless them in the same way you would like to be blessed. We don't wish ill on anyone. We wish to bless everyone. You see how the act of forgiveness will extract from your heart the qualities of devotee? And do you see the fortune in being hurt? If you can actually learn to develop these, to transcend the hurt and develop these qualities, you see how fortunate you are to be hurt, because you can come to this platform of forgiveness. Amazing. The amazing benefits there are in doing this. You forgive them because you understand, okay, you feel it was so bad you simply can't forgive. You forgive them because you understand you can choose to forgive. So this topic of choosing to forgive comes up. You keep the record of their wrongs with you. Your story is securely lodged in your heart. You're always remembering what they did. That story is there in your heart. See, the real thing of forgiveness is when the story leaves, you tear it up. It's over, it's history, it's gone. That's when you know you're forgiven. In our seminar, have everybody write the story. And throughout the seminar, we encourage people, at any point when you're ready, tear up that story. And we have a fire sacrifice, a make-believe fire sacrifice, and we throw the story in the fire. When you're ready to throw that story out of your life because it's full of so much pain and it's pulling you down so much, So that's the liberation when you throw that story away. It's gone. Okay, what's the antidote? You tear up the record of their wrongs and your rights. Let it go and stop talking about it. You may choose not to forget that a particular person has hurt you, but you no longer keep the record. Okay, that person hurt me, I don't want to get near them. But you've dropped the record, the details. You stop going over it in your mind again and again and talk about it with others. This exercise here is to give you guidelines of where you're progressing in the path of forgiveness. And let's say you get to zero with one person, but you have an issue with someone else, then you got to go back to this and start working with the next person. You allow the person who hurt you to be afraid or intimidated by you. You get some pleasure from this. When they are afraid of you, it gives you some satisfaction or happiness because they are getting some punishment for what you did, what they did to you. Your actions. Excuse me, antidote. By your actions, the offender is assured they have nothing to fear. So the person who hurt you should never have anything to fear from you. You want them to feel guilty. You only forgive them if and when they feel bad about themselves because of what they've done. You accept that Krishna allowed this to happen for a reason. You don't forgive yourself. We treat others how we treat ourselves. So, here's the issue, and now you're not forgiving yourself in relation to this issue. You are always conscious how Krishna forgives you. Radharani is the embodiment of compassion and how she forgives you. Lord Chaitanya forgives you, and Prabhupada forgives you. You understand that by not forgiving yourself, you are allowing the past to control your life. So, you were hurt. That's okay. You have to move on. Everything is about moving on. You can forgive yourself for mistakes you've made. Perhaps you put yourself in this situation and allowed yourself to get hurt. You can forgive yourself for doing stupid things, and you can move on and do better next time. You forgive, but don't forgive totally, and thus give into resentment again. Partially you forgive. Antidote. You forgive from the heart and forgive totally. You don't forgive them only once, but you continually forgive. You see forgiveness as a lifelong commitment. So once you've forgiven someone, you always have to keep this process of forgiveness going. It's like that person's name will come up, and you always have to remember, I've forgiven them. I'm going to continue the process of forgiving. It's really important. Continually forgive by practicing these principles towards that person. You don't let them save face. You won't let them save face. You're a bad person if you won't let them save face. I mean, you see how resentment makes us, it's just a breeding ground for so many demonic qualities. Antidote, you recognize that you are capable of making great mistakes and how important it is for you to save face. You treat them as you would want to be treated. So you let them save face. Okay, they did something wrong, but you let them save face. You let them apologize, rectify. You follow one or more of the antidotes, but feel a need to go to the person, let them know what you did. In other words, you feel this need. You have to go to them, tell them, I've let you off the hook. Sometimes it's the worst thing to do. You forgive them because this is the antidote. You forgive them because it's the right thing to do, because you value your relationship with Krishna. You only tell your enemy if you are so convinced it will be beneficial. Most people who offend you have no idea that they have done anything wrong. So if you think it's beneficial, do it. If you don't think it's beneficial, don't do it. Hare Krishna. So, Dr. Greg has made his comment very heavy. Well, Carol is saying revenge issues. Well, that's what this is all about. It's all not forgiving is all about revenge, getting back. We have to be heavy because resentment is very heavy. It's anger, it's ignorance, it's tamagun, and so we have to give it a heavy antidote. So I want you to do this exercise. It'll help you so much. And do it again and again and again and again. Okay, does anyone have any questions before we let you go out into this world where you'll be mistreated again and again, but you will graciously forgive all those who will mistreat you? Okay, I want to say something that is very powerful and is very important for you to know. This is my experience personally. If you learn this process of forgiveness, and if you do it totally, so that everything on this sheet here is zero, it's only zeros, if you do that, what that will do for you in the future, the rest of your life, is that it will make you resilient to being offended, to being hurt, to being let down. You'll be able to cope with it so much better that it's unlikely you will ever again in your life have issues with serious issues or issues that last more than a few minutes, a few moments. And it's highly unlikely you'll ever have any serious issues. You will not want to go there. Once you do this forgiveness process, number one, you will not want to go there. And number two, you will have this energy of forgiveness kind of flowing through you, so that whatever comes to you that's negative, it kind of just bounces off you. It's like it's not a problem for you. You don't want to go there. You don't want it to stick to you. You've been there, done that. You're over it. It's not worth it. It's not what your life is about. Your life is about being positive. Your life is about helping others. Your life is about giving. Your life is about service. It's not about holding on to people you don't like and thinking ill of them. That's not what you're about. You won't want to go there. But you have to get this list to zero before you can develop to this resilience in the future. If you develop it, it's the greatest gift you'll have, because then you can go through life as a real sadhu, as someone who can walk through difficulties and hurts and upsets and letdowns and not hold on to the pain, not hold on to the need to be right, not hold on to the bitterness, but do the right thing. So that's a little carrot for you, from my own experience in my life and the life of others that I've worked with, that if you do it, the payoff is tremendous. It's huge. Okay, we've gone over time. Thank you for listening. I promised you last week that I would make this class better than last week. So I don't know if it was, but I did my best to break through to a deeper level. And I will make that promise next week. Let's go one level deeper. We're going to dig up things. It may be about your resentment that you didn't realize we're there. We're going to face the issues. We're going to look at these ugly guys living in our heart. It is the only way we can deal with it. And our goal, bring the list to zero. When we bring the list to zero, when everybody brings it to zero, we'll go on to a new topic. We'll have reached the culmination of the aim, the goal of this course, that we've forgiven totally. Thank you very much. We'll see you all next week. Hare Krishna.